The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
You, O Christ.
You may be invite the children to come forward for a short message. Can you meet them, partner?
Jesus loved me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak.
You can sit for a little bit right here. Okay.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells us so.
So, good morning. Listen, we're talking about being connected. And when you hear the word connected, what does that word mean? What do you think? Like a puzzle piece. That's a great answer. Yeah, just like that. They don't look like they fit, and then all of a sudden you put it the right way, and it's perfect, right? Yeah, that's really good. So we're going to talk about that all in the next 6 weeks, about being connected. But I want to go through three different ways that we can connect with one another and why they're so important that we have all three. So, the first one, I'm going to show each of these by how we connect by using Jonah as my example, okay? So the first one, here, come here. This is one way to connect, right? And you know why it's so important to connect sometimes closely and in love one another is that sometimes we really need that. Doesn't that feel good to get a hug sometimes? It really does. But you know what hugs aren't good for? Running. Have you ever run and hugged somebody at the same time? That doesn't work too well. That's not what we do. That would be silly. But if we think about it, that connection is something that if that's all we did, if this is, "I want to be connected to you. Okay, how are we going to cook dinner?" So that would be hard. And so that's one way. Sometimes we want to show that connection, but there are many other ways. And so the next way I'll show, you ever see people connecting, walking with hands? Do you ever hold your parents' hands, maybe? Yes. What I like about connecting in this way is I can kind of be off on my own, kind of forget, but I'm connected. I know he's there. You know people in your life like that, where you have that connection? Now, can I run and walk with him? Yeah. It's not always perfect that way, but you can, exactly. Now, the final way to connect is one of those that doesn't show that way. So I'm going to show it this way. Let's turn apart from each other. This one I call having each other's back. But that's important, too, because sometimes when we're connecting to one another, now, can I walk away from you? Yeah, we're not trying to lean against each other, really. But can I walk, or can I be over here, and can I still be connected to somebody that I'm not touching? Yeah, we of course are. Most of our lives is that way. But we love to have those relationships where we know if I need help, I can call him. He's there for us. So I mention all three of those because they're all part of our life as people of God and really in the world in general. And when we talk about connections, all three are important. You need to know that everybody in your life sometimes needs love, a love that sometimes means you have to focus on them even more than normal. You need to know that sometimes when we're connecting to one another, we want to have that little extra connection, just something to show them, but that helps us to walk together too. And then you need to know that as you build up those connections, you don't always have to be connected literally. We can be out in the world, we can even be apart from one another and have each other's backs. There's a lot of other ways to connect, and I'd love you guys to talk about that with parents and say, how do you connect with people and where do you struggle to connect? But we're going to talk about that more in the next 6 weeks, okay? Can you pray with me? Dear God, help us to connect to one another and love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. Thank you for coming up. So connections. Connections with one another. I was thinking about this yesterday. Shirley Hansen's funeral was yesterday. And I was thinking about Shirley in the last years of her life being a good example of some of the connections that our own church does, that maybe you've seen in your own churches too, our guests who are here today. One of the things that happened is late in Shirley's life, it was hard for her to get up and down in a hurry. And that happens, that we might have somebody who can't come up for communion. And I've had more than one person tell me when that happens, they love to see somebody reach out to that person to bring the table to them, so to speak. You know, we always invite you to come to the table, but that symbol of God reaching out to us is such a powerful symbol. It also, though, is interesting to think about the ebb and flow of that reality, because right now, I don't think there's anybody who needs me to bring communion to them. If I do, I'm happy to do that. But that's just interesting, because that means that some of those people have left us, are gone. Oh, I'm going to bring one. I'm sorry to point you out. That's good. That's good. But it comes up and it comes down. But I need you to know, all of you, that when that happens, people come and say, that was the symbol of grace I needed today. That was the symbol that gave me more than anything else today. And I'm like, are you sure it wasn't the message? And they're like, no. So connection is an interesting thing. The other thing is, I really hope that after this worship service today, I know we have a lot of guests, I'd like you all to reach out to one person at the end of the worship that you don't know and just connect with them at the very basic level, because we need to connect intentionally more in today's culture than ever before in our lifetimes, I think, because we're getting so polarized. And sometimes you might be sitting next to somebody who somebody in the world will tell you you're supposed to not like, and you find out, I kind of like them. And maybe if you're not sure, at least finding that basic level of connection, it can do so much. We connecting with one another means so much to our world, and it can be contagious, that connection, as much as disconnection can. And in fact, it's what we're called to as people of God. So this text today, it connects with us with question. It's a story that's central to our story, heard, by the way, in the dictionary. That's something that a lot of different churches use. It's heard every year the week after Easter. I do want to apologize and make sure it's very clear to the Centennial Children's Chorus that if you've been here before, you hear this text. It doesn't mean that we don't read other texts at this church. I just thought about that. You show up 1 week a year and you're like, man, they really like that text. But the story centers around Thomas. And it's a great Easter story because it literally was a week later. So it works. It's so important to tell that story. His voice, his actions, they're very memorable, and they should be. because he does so much for our faith, for our own story. I was thinking about that alone. What do I see in Thomas? Well, he helps us to normalize doubt. We can see doubt as part of our own faith journey, that we can realize that that's okay, that doubt itself is not a bad thing. He reminds us that even those we look to as examples of faith can struggle. This is a famous person in Scripture, one of the 12 chosen, loved by Jesus. And in the book of John, if you read through the whole book, he's lifted up a little bit more in that book. So they could just do that. So they could have this person that you thought of as so strong and then have him struggling a little bit. That faith in God is hard is what it teaches us too. And that doubt is not just a part of Thomas's story, but it's a part of our story. And isn't that wonderful to hear the week after Easter, to help encompass us where we stand today? When we hear the Easter promise and get so excited and then look at the world and say, man, it's still messed up. This text reminds us that those we look to as examples of faith, they struggle. But it also reminds us in the most general of terms that questioning our faith is also part of our story and the story of the people of God. Now, you might say, boy, I don't want to question my faith. But those of you who have been around the faith a long time, I'll tell you, those people who have walked through that dark place where they have questioned their faith quite a bit, you know who are the most amazing Christians? Those people who have wrestled with those hard questions and are still here, are walking with you today. So today, those are all things that I normally would focus on with Thomas. But on this day, I want to focus on a single sentence from this scripture. I think it's a powerful one to ponder, and I think sometimes we focus all on that great stuff about Thomas and lose this sentence. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Although the doors were shut, Jesus came. Isn't that something that we want in our God that enters our lives? You know, when Pastor Lita, who is at the women's retreat right now, 45 of our women are up in the mountains coming down today, so keep them in your prayers. But when Pastor Lita and I ever get stuck on our sermons, we joke to one another. I'll say to her, "Boy, I'm just kind of wrestling right now. I'm kind of stuck. I can't figure out where to go." And she'll say, "Well, have you thought about putting Jesus in it?" You know, it's not a joke. Unfortunately, it happens way too often that we can look at what we're writing and it's exactly what we need. We can write a nice message, a whole lot of nice message, but not enough Jesus and a whole lot too much of us. See, we are people that believe that Jesus can unlock closed doors and closed hearts. And yet we are also people that continue to put ourselves as central to our lives as individuals. And it's so hard to forget, to always remember, okay, God, Jesus, help me make you in this message. Make it not about me. Make it about you. God knows we need it. Because God knows we keep closing the doors to those connections to God. You know, the problem over and over again for humanity is not so different than Adam and Eve's problem in Scripture. We have been given this gift of life, of hope, and we've been empowered with great gifts ourselves, and very quickly we want to do it on our own. We find ourselves over and over again living out our lives in a manner that puts us first. And there God comes, opening the doors of our hearts that have slowly been locked away, stands among us and says, "Peace be with you." That is it. That is that thing that we will repeat over and over. We look for the self-help, the do-it-yourself answer. It is sort of human nature. Some of us are better at not doing that than others, but I want to realize and lift up that it's also a gift. I often say that this is the problem with being created in God's image. When God created you in God's image, well, who is God? God is the I am. I am. Which, if you're created in the image of the I am, you stand in the face of God and say, "No, I am." You see, there's a conundrum there. But if God created us that way, the very thing that can separate us from God is what God wanted you to have, the power to be something to change this world for the better. We are created in God's image to be powerfully self-reliant, but we are also called to be connected with God. And there's the conundrum, there's the struggle. You see, you've been created with those amazing gifts. You can do so much. And, you know, this starts very early, too. I was thinking about this. I got a lot of parents in the room. I got a lot of middle schoolers who are probably mostly beyond this, but not completely. What is it, about second grade, first grade, maybe even less, where a child, you're doing something, and they say to you, "No, I can do it." That's what we do as children, right? All of a sudden, you're exercising your ability to do it on your own. And I think middle schoolers do it just as much as anybody. They just no longer vocalize it. They just do it. And that's great. It's part of growing up to be able to do things on your own, to show that you can. But that's why it's so important to intentionally focus on connection. Because we are wired to be self-reliant. And we are needing to be in relationship with one another. When we live apart from this love, it's easy to close our doors and lock away our opportunities to connect with God who loves us and the people around us even. In our ability to be in the image of God, we can grow selfish and disconnected. When things are going well, that means we keep putting more and more stuff in our life and we feel good because we say we have happiness. But when things go wrong, we can feel isolated and alone, and we often realize that happiness that we built is fleeting. It was not joy that can withstand suffering. It was happiness built on things, not joy built on love. You see, we need grace. We need grace in our lives because we will close doors, and we have the ability to close a lot of doors, to make our lives all about us, to shut people out, maybe because of something they did, but oftentimes it's just us shutting a door. But although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." It's that word of grace that we can hear over and over again. And so today, Jesus does open up the door to us, to the disciples, to the world, and says to us, "Peace be with you." And we ponder our world and our lives and ask again, where does the Word of God need to go in our lives? What is it that I can do with the gifts that God has given me to be a blessing to this world? And we have to ask questions. First to ourselves, what have I shut away from God? Who needs our connections for their lives? Who needs my connections in their lives? How can I be a connector? Am I giving all of my time, all of my offerings, all of my gifts that I can to the world, or am I keeping them for myself? Am I connecting with others as I should? Are we focusing on Jesus, or are we making it about us? Sometimes we ask those questions to ourselves, and the beauty of great connections, this is important, only those that we're really connected to already, that we've intentionally connected to, can we ask these questions of them. We have to build up a relationship of trust to be able to poke, to prod a little bit and say, "I think you have gifts that you're not using, and you could do more." And sometimes if somebody says that to you and you don't know them very well, you say, "What are you talking to me about?" But if somebody you love says that to you, you still might, "What are you talking?" And then you might go, "Yeah, you're right." See, we're called to question as a way to connect. But not just God and our faith. We're called to question ourselves and those we trust and those that trust us, to bring up good questions to find how we can strengthen the love of Jesus in our community. I want to close by telling a story to the outsiders as well as reminding the insiders who are here today. We're all together. I shouldn't say outsiders and insider, but you know what I mean. I was thinking about the house that we're building for Habitat for Humanity. In the last year, we raised $100,000 for a house for Habitat for Humanity. And do you remember how that came about? It came about because we're building onto our own church. And we raised, well, we've raised now over $1 million with a goal to raise more than that. But when we started to think about doing this, we said, we asked the question of ourselves, should we be doing this at all? Because it's an okay church. We got a lot of stuff. There's a lot of space here. Should we really be raising up new walls, or should we be giving this money to the poor and the needy? And that was a fair question, a good question. And out of that question came the realization that we could tithe, that we could give 10% of every dollar that came in for this capital campaign, and that's what we've done. And so right now, while we're building up these walls, we are building up walls for a house for somebody else. And that's the power of question when we're connecting with one another. That we can do these things and realize that we can bless the world even while we feel blessed. That we can be a gift and that we can find a way to use our resources in this way. So now we have to ask ourselves what questions they are for tomorrow. As you walk away from this, I hope that you sit around the dinner table. That you may ask your question of, are we doing all we can as people of God in the community of our world today? I hope you'll ask, what are the gifts that I have that might be better used in our world today than I'm currently using them? I hope you ask, what are the gifts that I have that I am using well? And I hope that you have those trusted, connecting people in your lives that you can ask those to as well, to where when they answer, you know that they're answering as honestly and as helpfully as they can. Helpfully? Yeah, anyways. You are the people of God. Remember, there are shut doors. Remember, Jesus continues to open them. And remember, Jesus has called you in God's, you are created in God's image, which means you can open doors too, connecting to people in your hearts. Amen.